overseas. I know most of you are listening because services have been canceled there at Faith. The only places that we can go is to the grocery store, to our pharmacy perhaps, and even then, when we go to the grocery store, the shelves are empty, and there's no tissue paper, there's no sanitizer. So we're definitely living in some strange times. But I want to encourage those of you who are looking and those of you who are listening from the Word of God according to the Book of Psalm. I want you to act as though this broadcast, if you're listening to us, or if you're listening to us, we want you to turn your Bibles to the Book of Psalm, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we're going to look at about three verses, and we'll find some encouragement as we glean as David has penned these few verses. I'll be reading from the King James rendering, and feel free to read along with me. From the Book of Psalm, Psalm 37, beginning at the 23rd verse, you'll find words along this sort. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse number 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you would bow your heads and pray with me. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for these moments that we have together to share your word. Now, God, I ask that you would give preaching even through this broadcast. We ask, God, that you would give me the words to say, that your word would go forth with the power and potency that your word warrants. Our prayer, God, is that what happens today would last longer than what happens today, that we would be different, Father, than what we were when it's all done. In Jesus' name we pray and trust. Say with me, amen. I was thinking this morning, especially, about what we are now experiencing. And it reminded me of what a parent or parents do to their children when they are disobedient, when they're misbehaving. It's not like it used to be when I was growing up. The new modernization of way of thinking says now that it's wrong to whoop your child. You don't use a belt. They have now employed what is called time out. A different day, I guess, for a different kind of child. And the time out is where the child is sent to their room. Their privileges are taken away, their toys are taken away, and they're given some time to be alone, to think about their misbehavior. And it dawned on me that right now we all are experiencing a global timeout. Now, this is not to demean the seriousness of the matter. Where people are dying and people have lost their lives and people are suffering on their beds of affliction. We're not demeaning that. We're not belittling that. But when you really think about it, we are all experiencing a timeout. No longer now can we enjoy the normalcy that we once did. We are forced from our jobs. We are forced from restaurants. We are forced even from the theme parks. I read and heard that even Disney World has closed their gates. Our activities are now very limited. The stores that we once shopped now is closed. The restaurants that we used to enjoy eating out and pleasuring ourselves have all now been, for the most part, shut down. And because of the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, we have been forced to embrace, and I won't call it a new normal, there's nothing normal about what we're all experiencing, but we have been forced to embrace a different kind of life. We have been forced to our room, so to speak. And the reason I won't call this a new normal is because this is one period in history. Somebody need to say, this too shall pass. So it is. Seemingly, we have all of these things taken away from us. Even entertainment. It's about now that we would all be enjoying, those of us who like collegiate basketball, the best players exhibiting their talents. They have been taken away. The NBA canceling or postponing their season. Baseball. Everything has been put on pause and given what seemingly is a perpetual hold. Restaurants and empty theaters now are the norm. Even, I'm told, and I've read, U.S. stocks have plummeted and declined in a worse degree. Self-quarantining and social distancing now is the trending words of our day. There is, I would say, even a panic in the atmosphere. Romans 8:28 declares that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called of His purpose. So, some good will and must, according to the Word of God, come from this. If nothing else, because of this global pandemic, even our government, who has been split for the longest time, Democrats against Republicans and Republicans against Democrats, have been forced to work together for the first time in a long time and pass, if not the largest stimulus package in U.S. history. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that monetary legislation alone, nor the efforts from our local government and state government, that's not going to solve our problem of making us stay at home. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 has the solution to this global pandemic that we now know as COVID-19. The Bible reads again from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That, brothers and sisters, is a remedy to COVID-19 and all of the other ills of our society. Now, this is not to demean our scientific community. I am in total agreement that we should be practicing social distancing, staying away from each other, 6 feet to arrest the spread of this virus. I am in compliance in their thinking that we should be clean and wash our hands. And that's what our part is. God has partnered with us. His part is the impossible. Our part is the possible. We can't do His. He won't do ours. So we need to make certain that we are sanitizing our hands. But our hands aren't the problem. It's our hearts. Our hearts need sanitizing. It's our soul needs cleaning up. Our mind and our spirit needs to be cleansed from the ills of the temptations that are set before us. Once we sanitize our soul and concentrate and focus on living a godly life, a lot of the ills in which we're now experiencing will be remedied. I just want to leave with you two little points. And those points, I've already read the scriptures, and the scripture was found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. I just want to read and just let you ponder these thoughts. Again, I'm sorry, is it Psalms 37. And I want to look at verse 23. 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I just want to reiterate again during this time of a pandemic problem that we are all been given a time out. The word declares here that a good man or a believer or God's people are ordered by the Lord. Our steps are predestined. They're ordained by God. This means that we are on a track set by God, headed to our destiny. The only one that can disrupt our destiny and get us off track is ourselves. When we lose focus of what God has for us, when we lose focus of living for Him, then that's when we get off track. He says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I just want to say here to the believers, especially Faith Missionary Church, this is a time to shine for Christ. This is a time that we need to demonstrate our faith. And can I say right here that there's many people that say they don't need church. There's a lot of people that stay at home on Sunday. So, I see, since the people won't come to church, God has taken the church to the people. You're in homes right now with people who don't believe, or they don't demonstrate that they believe. They don't think they need to come to church. I'm not criticizing them, but what I am saying, this is a grand opportunity for the believer to demonstrate their faith to those around us. People who have never even paid attention to sermons now are tuning in to sermons because they're on Facebook, they're on YouTube. It's a grand opportunity to win souls for the Master and to demonstrate that though we're not perfect, and we're in no wise call ourselves perfect, we are trying to live to the best of our ability, according to the will of God and the mandate instructed of us in His Word. So, don't think that this caught God by surprise, because it didn't. I'm talking to the one now that after this pandemic is over, you won't have a job to go back to. God knew that this pandemic was coming when He allowed you to get that payment for that car, to get that payment for that house. You demonstrated faith in acquiring the car. Now demonstrate faith in keeping the car. Demonstrate faith now in keeping the house. You got to believe that God is ordering your steps. And if He's ordering your steps, He didn't make this pandemic come upon us, but He allowed it for His glory. He allowed it for His good. He allowed it to strengthen the unbeliever, that he might see you, the believer, demonstrating faith, even faith to the possibility, and God forbid, as I said before, if all the grocery stores closed down, we need to be so faithful as believers that the next morning that we open up our eyes, we need to look out the window and look for some manna that's on the ground, because God delights Himself in the people that He has ordered their steps. And that's us. Knowing that your steps are ordered should give us some comfort, should give us some assurance to let us know that since this did not catch God off guard, it should neither catch us off guard. For we are living in the last days. even what the Bible has demonstrated, calling it perilous times. And lastly, looking at this same text in chapter 37, the book of Psalms, the Bible says, though he fall, that's still talking about the believer. In other words, there will be believers who will get sick. There will be believers who lose their job. There will be believers who experience trouble. It doesn't exempt us from trouble. But the Bible says, though he falls into calamity, he falls into temptation, he shall not be utterly cast down. It will not destroy us. Though we fall, the Bible says, though a man falls seven times, he gets up again. It's not demeaning in falling. It's demeaning when you stay down. The getting up again, it makes us stronger. It exercises those faith muscles that makes us to be able to endure the blessings that God has in store for us. Do you know that every blessing is a burden? To whom much is given, much is required, which means that God is not going to put no more on us than we can bear. Some of us can't bear the blessings of a new job, can't bear the blessings that comes with promotion, can't bear the blessings that come with a new car, a house, because that's a payment. That's a payment that we didn't have. Being in a lead position, you're going to encounter confrontation. If you can't deal with the burden of confrontation and don't have the strength muscles, God is not going to allow you to get in those positions. He says in verse 25, and this is David talking. David says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now what you need to know about this particular verse is David is not talking about age. There's a lot of scared old folk right now. They're, just because you have longevity and you got some age on you doesn't make you have a lot of faith. What David is really talking about here is he's saying, I have experienced a lot in my life. And all through my experiences, he didn't say, notice he says, I have been young, I am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous sick. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I didn't see the righteous sick. He didn't say, I've never seen the righteous in trouble. He said, I've never seen the righteous not on the beds of affliction. We're going to get sick. We're going to be on our bed of affliction. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to get have some good days. We're going to have some bad days. But what David says is, he's never seen the righteous forsaken, abandoned by God. God never abandons us. When we get sick, he's right there with us. When we lose our job, he's right there with us. He never abandons us. He has promised through Jesus never to leave us nor forsake us. So bear this in mind while you're going through. Remember that God is going through with you. When you get in that ditch, God will get in the ditch with you. I'm reminded about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those boys were going to be thrown in a fiery furnace back in the biblical days if they did not bow to the king's wishes. Notice that in the story of those three Hebrew boys, they still had to go into the fire. They still had to be thrown, bound in the fire. God did not keep them from going in the fire. He got in the fire with them. The king went and looked and said, didn't we throw in three? He said, but I look and I see a fourth man. That fourth one is Jesus, walking around in the midst of the fire with the Hebrew boys. The Bible says that when they came out, they didn't smell of smoke. Their hairs weren't singed. The only thing that was different than them is that the thing that bound them, the ropes or whatever they were bound, burned away in the fire. They became free in the furnace. Somebody ought to say, free in the furnace. Right now, you might be in that furnace, but don't try to get out. Look around for the Lord. He's right there with you. In that same story, isn't it interesting that the three came out, the fourth one didn't? There's something to that. And the reason that the forefront didn't come is because Jesus stayed in the fire and he's waiting on us for when we are thrown in a fiery furnace. For whatever situation you find yourself, never be overcome. Demonstrate faith now. Don't buy up all the groceries, all the water, all the toilet tissue. Stay in the secret place. Pay it forward. When you're buying, think about the next person coming along, and instead of getting two or three, get one. Get what you need. Think about that manna. The manna that the people gathered only lasted for that day, which meant that they would have to gather more manna the next day. So stop trying to hoard stuff for weeks. God said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. The love of faith, please demonstrate the faith that we confess. Please demonstrate now to those around us that we are the chosen of God. And I want to say right here that during this time that we are forced to be in a time out of sorts, let's gather our thoughts, take a deep breath, enjoy our families. Look for the good that's in this. God's hand is all in it. He never makes a mistake. He never is caught off guard. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And before we end this little time that we've had to share, I do want to extend a Christian invitation to those of you who may not know Jesus as Lord of your life and Savior of your soul. I want you to pray this little prayer with me. If you would close your eyes and tell God, I'm a sinner, and I now want to be saved by your grace. I give my heart and soul to you. Clean me up, Lord. Fix me and come into my very being, my very life. Enter my soul. Take full control of my life. I give you my life and make you Lord of my life. In the name of Jesus, Father, make me new. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a fresh and renewed spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Say with me, amen. If you pray that prayer, we believe that you're now saved. We want you to join a Bible-believing church when all of this is over. We would love to have you there in Faith, located at 267 E.F. Cartwell Road in Lewisburg, North Carolina. But please know that it doesn't necessarily matter what church you join, as long as you join the church. We now know that the church is not in a building. The church is in the believer's heart. But if you would like to congregate with Faith, certainly look up our webpage and also our YouTube channel. We thank you for this time, and we again want for you to stay encouraged, and we look forward to speaking with you this coming Wednesday. And I want to also close with a benediction. And now unto him that is able to do abundantly, exceedingly above that we can ask or think, it's according to the power that is working in us, be glory and majesty henceforth now and forevermore. Let the redeemed of the Lord acknowledge him by saying, amen. Until next time, Godspeed.